All right, welcome back to another episode of the Seattle After Party Podcast. Our guests this week were Dan Murphy and Keith Tyler from the Doctor Who and British media convention called Anglicon. We were also joined on the panel by author and After Party alumni Raven Oak, who is going to be at that same convention. Also, throughout the night, we were joined by our very own Jakiva Phillips, who actually has a short message about her latest Wordlit Zine-sponsored show, Bibliophilia. So before we get on to the podcast, here's that message.
So, for those of you out there in the podcast verse, I want to tell you guys about Bibliophilia. It's a storytelling festival that combines a poetry, prose, and improvisational theater. And it's happening this August 4th through 6th. So if you guys are, you know, have fun at Anglicon during the day, go see some awesome shows, and then you can come on down to the Pocket Theater in Greenwood and watch none other than Raven Oak. She's going to be kicking off the very first night of Bibliophilia with a series called Chapter 1. So she's going to read the very first chapter of her novel Class M, Exile, and then a group of improvisational actors are going to bring that chapter to life. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun, so I encourage you guys to come and see that. There's a host of other shows out there doing similar things. There's Gigi Silverman, and she's going to be reading from Vegan Teenage Zombie Huntress, and the premise of that is a bunch of girls recognize that their dates, their prom dates, have all become zombies, and so they have to save the school, and that's another chapter one, so Gigi's going to read the first chapter and bring it to life as well. So those shows and more fun, crazy amalgamations of performance and improv sound good to you, come on down to the Pocket Theater. That's, again, August 4th through 6th, and check out Bibliophilia. We're on Facebook, so find us there, and come support Raven. She's going to come to Anglicon and have a good time, so you come and support it at Bibliophilia. All right. Back to Daryl.
All right. Thanks, Jakiva. Okay. Are you ready for the after party at Anglicon? Well, as usual, we warmed up with a little match game action. But instead of contestants, we just let ourselves get nerdy and creative. It was a lot of fun and a sure way for us to warm up guests in the future. This show goes a bit deep into British media fandom, so bring your towels, your sonic screwdrivers, and join us as the Seattle After Party talks Anglicon.
It's Sunday afternoon. It's time for the Seattle After Party! My guests this week are Dan and Keith from Anglicon.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. Hello.
All right. Hello. Dan, Keith, why don't you introduce yourselves and give me the more proper description of what Anglicon is in the elevator speech version of it.
Ah, all right. Well, hi, I'm Dan. Anglicon is a local fan-run convention. Its focus is on not only Doctor Who, but anything British, be it Red Dwarf, Sherlock, James Bond. If it's British, we cover it.
Okay, great. Great, great. And do you have anything to say, Keith?
I think Dan covered it pretty well. Okay. Dan is our... Dan is our guest relations expert. He will be taking care of our special guests at Anglicon next weekend. I'm Keith. I've been doing promotions, publicating, making flyers, making sure the program book looks good, making sure our website looks good, and trying to get the word out there to everyone in podcast land and Facebook land. And
very quickly, because they are listening to this hopefully on Monday,
yep,
or very late Sunday if I get it out tonight, tickets are still available to go. The memberships are still available.
Tickets are available through today.
Online.
But after today, you'll want to buy them in person at the DoubleTree Hotel in down by SeaTac Airport, where the convention will be at the door.
Okay.
I don't think we will extend the online times because it's managing all the data.
You're right. Exactly.
Make sure we've got stuff printed.
All right. So they're going to want to come down, but there is availability to come down.
Oh yeah.
And be a part of Anglicon. Great.
Oh yes, tickets are available. And that website is at anglicon.com.
So what was that again? I just couldn't hear that.
That website again is anglicon.com.
Okay, great. All right. Well, I was telling you beforehand, but we start the Seattle After Party, just to kind of get ourselves all loosened up with just a version of the match game. So because our audience is sparse and just my children and your dates here today, we're going to do a different version where you guys try and match me and what I say.
All right. Sounds good. So, we'll actually have match game going on at the convention with some of our guests.
Oh, that's great. What day is that happening?
I believe that is on Friday night. Yes,
Friday night. All right, great. I saw that you guys posting that you're going to also be doing an event. Is it also Friday night that you're doing an event for, you're doing Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yes. Basically Friday night is game night. We're having both Whose Line Is It Anyway and match game.
Ah, sweet, okay. Sweet. So that's definitely, if you're into games of that sort, that's a good night to show up and be there as well. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So we're going to start the first round here. Have your boards and your pens ready.
Oh. Daryl, can I play? I never get to play.
You can play.
Yeah.
You can play.
I can play?
You
can
play. There's a bowl over here.
Sweet!
There's a microphone right down there that's set up for Raven, but she's not here, so why don't you play in her stead?
Oh, shucks.
Oh.
Come on down.
Do-do-do-do-do. Okay, so...
I like how you guys know this song. That makes me so happy. I'm probably the only 27-year-old who gets like the match game theme song stuck in my head, but it's awesome.
Oh, there's Raven.
Well,
we
did match game last year at Anglicon.
All right.
And one thing my wife did was download every single version of the match game theme so we could play it during the show. She did a fantastic job on that.
All right, great. All right. Raven, well, we've got a seat right down there for you. Raven Oak just showed up
to
finish out our panel. So that doesn't mean you don't get to play. Right. It just means you get to play next to D'Artagnan. So you might get some help from my son, D'Artagnan. Just for any of those listening at home, Jakiva asked, you got my back. My son said, probably not. Okay.
Honesty is the best policy.
So just to show what a professional panelist I am, apparently I'm late. I was thinking 12:30.
Oh, okay. Well,
you're fashionable.
Then you're early for that.
Right.
You're amateur fashionable. I don't know. No, just kidding. It was 12 o'clock. It was, don't worry. This was all thrown together very quickly. And I'm glad we could do that to help promote Anglicon here. But, we're just going to start with match game. I know we're, instead of playing it with, contestants like we normally do, we're just going to play it with ourselves, sort of, to see like who we match with each other. What? And Jakiva, Jakiva's sort of our contestant.
Yay!
We'll see if she can win and get
she's
the most points over herself.
She's already writing down answers, though. Is she psychic? That's it's a good trick.
No, she's writing pictures, probably.
That might be against the rules, though.
She's writing her name so that I know who it is, because I would never know looking at Jakiva that it's Jakiva, one of my good friends, and I just don't know who she is. All right, it's very simple. We do, basically, for the normal round, I give you a sentence. There's a blank. Fill in the blank on your sheet. So here we go. And in editing, if I get really good, I will add some music in the background. But for now, you guys can just make music with your mouths. I think we had one guest do that once. All right.
Wrong show.
Wrong show.
Gotta mix up a little bit.
True.
All right, the first sentence. The doctor found himself on a mining vessel named Red Dwarf. He found the blank quite interesting. So now is the time when I would tell you things. I would tell you ads. Oh, let me repeat it one more time. The doctor found himself on a mining vessel named Red Dwarf. He found the blank quite interesting. Now is a good time to tell you that you can help us out by going to our website, which is seattleafterparty.com, and clicking on one of our Amazon banners or links. After you do that, you can just go and buy whatever it is you want to buy on Amazon. And I'm sure you buy things on Amazon because they have just about everything, including, I believe they've got some uranium that you can use for testing your Geiger counters with. Yes, this is something. Go ahead, look it up. It's on Amazon. Buy yours today. All right. Has everybody come up with an answer yet?
It's an answer.
It's an answer.
I'm not guaranteeing it's a good
Jakiva,
one.
Jakiva, have you got answer. Your answer? All right, Jakiva. The doctor found himself on a mining vessel named Red Dwarf. He found the what? Quite interesting.
the gravitational pool, but I made a pool.
Okay.
Like it's on the ship.
Oh, so it's a gravitational pool. It's not a gravitational pull.
It's a play on words.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, there might be a despair squid in that pool, just so everybody's wondering. Okay.
Oh, not the despair squid, sir.
Okay. Dan.
I like what Dan's done here. This is good.
Okay. The doctor found himself on a mining vessel named Red Dwarf. He found the what? Quite interesting.
The ship's computer, Holly.
Oh, yes, he would.
Who happens to be a guest at Red Dwarf, Norman Lovett.
Oh, I see what you did there. That was very well. Norman Lovett.
He will be at Anglicon.
The male Holly will be there.
Yes, he hasn't been stateside at a lot of conventions, so this is a rare appearance for him.
That's great. That's great. Awesome. Very much so. Yes. All right, Keith.
I was a bit too practical. I thought he found the rocks quite interesting. Because, you know, the doctor would get on Red Dwarf and be like, these rocks are from the completely wrong sector of space. You know, I'm just like, I must have been traveled a million years. You know.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
That's definitely what he was done. Or he would have said something about the gazpacho soup. I don't know.
That too.
Yeah. This is wonderful gazpacho soup.
It's too cold.
It's not Earth's potatoes, you know.
Oh, the nerddom is going deep already. It's early on in this podcast. Okay, Raven.
And more coffee.
So I'm totally not awake because I sat there and went, and then said, toilet seat. Because who doesn't find a toilet seat interesting?
Yeah, you know, I'm very sure that these were all answers. These were definitely answers, and they were very good, and I appreciate them.
I don't guarantee it's a good answer. It's just an answer. You get what you ask for.
From a pun-based answer of gravity pool
to toilet seat,
which, hey, you know.
Does that mean we've already devolved to toilet humor?
Yes.
It absolutely does. It absolutely does.
Maybe I thought it was 12:30 a.m.
There you go.
Maybe. Maybe. Okay, let's go into the second round of this and see what we can come up with. I've really tried to keep these themed for this episode. So my next round is, Arthur Dent was upset because he couldn't find his towel. He was worried he might have left it in blank. Arthur Dent was upset because he couldn't find his towel. He was worried he might have left it in blank. And now would be a good time while they are writing down to remind you that you can rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or however you listen to us. Just rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, even if you think we're 4 stars instead of 5. That's okay. we'd love to hear from you. So make sure to let us know what you think. Okay, do we have answers? Okay, I'm seeing answers. Okay, Jakiva. The sentence was, Arthur Dent was upset because he couldn't find his towel. He was worried he might have left it in...
the TARDIS?
He might have. You never know. You never know. Okay, the TARDIS. Let's see if anybody matches with anybody else. Okay. Here we go. Dan.
I was worried he left it in Marvin's room.
Everyone always does that. So typical.
If you're listening right now,
we will be having an Alan Rickman panel, retrospective. So,
and I'm moderating it.
There you go. Oh, that's right.
Which is part of why we added Raven to the panel. Okay, so an Alan Rickman panel. That's great. For those of you who don't know the reference, I'm sorry you don't. But Alan Rickman played the voice of Marvin in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the movie that came out. When did that come out? It's like 2005?
Yes.
Yeah, sounds right.
2005, 2006. Okay.
Sounds right.
Yeah. Oh, that movie was just, oh my God, bonkers, hilarious, which was perfect because it should be. Yes. Anyways. All right. Keith.
So I took a cue from Raven Oak and I just went with, he left it in the toilet. Now, I would definitely be afraid if I had left my towel in the toilet because then I got to bleach it and stuff.
Yeah, I can see that. We've already hit toilet twice.
Look,
in less than...
I didn't start it, okay?
My fault.
I'm just going with the flow.
Okay, all right.
With the flow?
Yes.
Oh.
With toilet humor.
Oh, above boy. The equator, it's certain. See, now I'm getting into science humor. This is way too nerdy.
Oh, we'll have it. We'll have it all. Science humor, toilet humor, toilet science humor.
Science fiction, science humor.
We're on the
fiction
gamut.
Humor.
Photo op.
Kyle! The full panel photo op, yay! And the audience. Oh my God, Jakiva's in the audience.
Squeeze in.
We have some.
Yeah. We'll get. Oh, you want? I've got. I'm taking pictures like I always do, so
it's
that
a crowd of minions.
Yeah. This, just so any of our listeners at home, we're doing our first ever Sunday episode of the podcast, so it's a little bit different energy. We're not coming off of a show. We're actually doing, the shows were last night, so this is like the morning after party, but it's afternoon, so it's not
a hangover party, huh?
It's a hangover party, exactly. Yeah.
With fewer monkeys.
With fewer monkeys.
Elephants.
Okay. And Raven, I'm sorry, I
it's okay.
Made a big break. Raven.
So I took a cue from Chiquiva. He left it in the gravitational pool.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, does that count as a match because it went around?
You matched with the last one previously. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. Now, this is the last of the normal round. And in honor of
abnormal rounds,
we have an abnormal round, an abnormal round.
I got that one.
Actually, it's a lightning round is what we call it, but it doesn't go as fast as lightning probably should. Anyways, the normal round. Here we go. Keeping with our bylaws of the after party, this is always about guests who are on our panel. So my sentences aren't always that great, but here we go. Keith and Dan have a convention coming up, and they are a little tense. Even though they shouldn't be, they are worried about blank. Keith and Dan have a convention coming up, and they are a little tense. Even though they shouldn't be, they are worried about blank. Now, while everybody is furiously writing down their sentences, this is a good time to remind you that, hey, you've got comments, you've got questions, you've got your own match game sentences. Why don't you send them to us at fanmail@seattleafterparty.com. Once again, that email address is fanmail@seattleafterparty.com. Send in your comments, questions, match game sentences, or your Anglican fan fiction that you really wanted to have on this episode. Either way, it'll work out. So while we're going here, is everybody ready? It looks like Dan's still furiously writing. Okay, here we go. Jakiva, Keith and Dan have a convention coming up, and they are a little tense. Even though they shouldn't be, they are worried about
the crumpets and tea.
The crumpets and tea. It is a British. Oh, and she's got a picture of crumpets and tea written down.
Very nice.
Jakiva's very good at doing artwork with her answers. Okay, because Dan and Keith actually have the correct answer.
I actually want to comment that we will be having a tea at Anglican. I don't remember exactly what day it is. I don't know if we'll have crumpets, but I think we'll try.
I thought it was Saturday at 4.
There you go. It's Saturday
Sounds
at 4.
Sounds traditional.
Hey, it works for me.
There is a place in Pike Place Market called the Crumpet Shop. Ooh. I think you can make it happen.
We can probably. I'm sure it's being taken care of.
Okay, and I totally have to plug something really quick. I've got a booth at Anglican in the dealer's room, and I will have jelly babies. Ooh. Honest to God, jelly babies.
Honest to God, jelly babies at the booth. All right. And speaking of Raven, because she is not Dan and Keith and does not necessarily have the correct answer, we will start with her on the panel this time. Raven, Keith and Dan have a convention coming up, and they are a little tense. Even though they shouldn't be, they are worried about
the hotel not being bigger on the inside.
Ah, I don't... Actually, I think they should be worried about that.
Well, okay. It was a bit of a worry, but I think we'll be okay.
I'll talk about that a little bit. We came up with that because we actually have more space this year than last year, and it is an inside event, so it is bigger, and it is on the inside.
Ah, I absolutely...
It's all relative,
I absolutely adore that play on linguistical... Oh, I love that. I love that stuff. That is like, that's my bread and butter right there. Okay. So we will start with Dan. Dan, you've got a convention coming up, and you're a little tense. Even though you shouldn't be, you're worried about?
Personally, wormholes. They sometimes snag the guest, and they disappear.
That's true. That's what happened to Robert Llewellyn this year, right? He just got
afraid
sucked into a wormhole.
But
luckily, he ended up back in Britain.
So he's
not dead.
And he did agree to do a Skype panel.
Ooh, nice.
Panel via Skype. So audience will be able to interact with him for an hour during a panel session.
That's great.
Live from the UK.
Saturday at 3 p.m. our time.
Saturday at 3 p.m. Awesome. You guys are, by the way, I have a question where I asked about, where I wrote down to make sure to ask about when stuff is happening. You guys are answering it very well before I ever asked.
I kind of cheat. I got the program book right in front of me here on my phone.
We'll talk about at least where people can find the program, because I did see the program came out.
We do have it online. There is an online guide that people should be able to access. I think it might be up already. We do also have a copy of the schedule up on, there's a link on our Facebook, or I posted it like a week ago. It's there somewhere. We can repost it. But yeah, the schedule is up, and things, of course, subject to change, but it's the original schedule. So yeah, I mean, there's seven different rooms. One room will be dedicated to crafting. One room will be dedicated to things like, you know, guest Q&As, and there'll be panels on pretty much everything from Sherlock.
You can keep talking, but I know you're skirting the question here.
What's that?
Is that even though you shouldn't be, you're worried about what?
Drowning in the gravitational pull. That's a bit personal, because I almost did drown in the pool at the hotel last year.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, hopefully it's not a gravitational pull, because that would have been harder to get out of.
That would have been worse, yeah.
That would have been, okay, so we have definitely matched, just not with the same sentence once again. So, all right, now we go into the lightning round, which is very simple. It's one word and one blank. You can fill in the blank with more than one word if you like. So get creative. This is the fun time here. Okay. And I'm sure that when you guys play Match Game, you will actually have contestants, and it'll be much more interactive, right?
Oh, yes. The contestants will be handpicked from the audience. So you, the listener, could very well be a contestant if you show up.
And are there prizes?
Short of bragging rights, which is the ultimate prize in fandom.
That's true.
There may be ribbons.
We're not exactly sure what the prizes will be.
Really close to bragging rights.
But we can guarantee bragging rights.
Okay.
Wait, so you're not sure what the surprises will be? So is it fair to say that the surprises are a surprise?
Why, yes.
Oh, my.
I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah,
yes.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Jakeev is on point, listening when I miss it. All right.
That's good.
All right. The first one of the lightning round is blank Bond. Once again, that's blank Bond. While they're furiously writing, I want to remind you that you can follow us on Twitter. Just go to Twitter and look up at After Party Hosts. That's us. That's all our hosts. Also, if you want to see all our hosts and what their Twitters are, you can look at our details on our account. So follow us on Twitter at After Party Hosts. Okay. Jakeeva, what is it? Blank Bond.
James. Oh, wait, hang on. James. Is that sort of better for you, lovely?
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. All right, James Bond. All right. Let's see. What have we got there, Dan?
Oh, that would be Jimmy Bond, a bartender I know back in Tacoma.
Jimmy Bond. Okay. Yes. Does anybody call him James?
Sometimes.
Okay. Well, it might be a match, sort of, kind of. All right, Keith.
All I could think of was Bond, James Bond. So.
All right. Yeah. So you went Bond, James.
Bond. James Bond.
It's totally a match. We actually have a match, which is what the lightning round is really for, is to actually get matches. Raven.
I said doctor.
Dr. Bond.
That'd be interesting.
Dr. Bond.
Well, we didn't have a Dr. Bond, but we had a Time Lord Bond.
That's right.
Yeah. So
I was gonna say,
we've gotten
Lord
close.
Lord Rassilon.
Yes. Okay, well, that's, see how quick that went? That's why it's called the lightning round. All right, now here's going to be maybe a little bit more difficult one, because it's not as obvious. British blank. British blank. Now, after you're done following us on Twitter, at After Party Hosts, you can also like us on Facebook. Look up Seattle After Party. Hey, and if you haven't already, since our guests are Anglican, like Anglican. Yeah. You can find out all sorts of information there as well. And heck, since Jakeeva's here, like Wordlet Zine. It's great. Hey, Raven's here. Like Raven, like us all on Facebook. Like all the things.
And like me, too. I mean,
we're likable.
Why not?
Like, yeah. Totally.
Like totally. Oh, my God. Okay, and here we go. That devolved into something. Okay, Jakiva, British blank.
Parliament.
British Parliament. Do you want to try an accent on this one, too?
British Parliament. Yes.
Okay.
That was far too good.
Okay. What do we got, Dan?
I put...
Visited by the Queen. I don't know what happened there. I did not expect that.
I put...
That would be a heck of a guest. Now, I don't know if I'm going to pull that off anytime soon, but...
Working on it. Yeah. I put British media, which is what those that go to Anglicon are all fans of.
British media. This is true. This is true. Okay.
I was trying to be a little bit... novel, so I reached back into my 80s wrestling trivia and went with British Bulldog.
Oh, yeah. I very much appreciate that, as anybody who has listened to the podcast knows. And I was a professional wrestler at one point for 4 years.
Yeah.
And we've had a local professional wrestler on. So, it's good stuff. We're all wrestling fans here. Okay, well, I can't say all of us are, but most of us. Anyways, well, Raven.
Everyone was in the 80s, not so much anymore.
British. I see where we're going already.
My husband's giving me this look like, oh my God. Toilets.
British
toilets.
British toilets.
Bringing it all the way back around to the toilet humor that is British toilets.
Well, one thing I learned to appreciate when I visited the UK about a month or two ago was that, and here in the public toilets, they just have those like metal walls that are like only so high, and they like have a gap of 2 feet at the bottom, and the doors don't quite close all the way. In the UK, they don't do that. They have walls and they have doors that close, and you cannot accidentally peek at someone through the door. I don't know why we don't do that in this country, especially considering we're also uptight and private. But it is nice. They care about those things, the little things that what matters, you know.
Well, you know, if there's anything the British have over us, it's their uptightness.
This is true.
This is true.
That's probably
they do it so much better than us. I mean, it's proper and it looks all cool, but they do it better than us.
Do.
You know, there's some things that America can't be better at, and that's just one of them.
We're not number one?
Okay. Once again, we're going back to something that may or may not have obvious answers to anybody listening today. But here we go. Blank dwarf. Blank dwarf. All right. We've already talked about Wordlit Zine a little bit. And as you know, Wordlit Zine is something that is run by our host, Jakiva, who is currently a contestant today. It is Pacific Northwest poetry, literature, and more, including the event that we've got coming up at the Pocket Theater that she talked about earlier, and I will make sure gets edited earlier at this point. It's called Bibliophilia. I was going to call it Bibliothèque, but that was just my French coming through. But it's called Bibliophilia at the Pocket Theater. Check it out on the evenings after Anglicon. Okay, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Jakiva, do you have an accent for this one?
I do.
Okay.
So you have to say the thing first.
Okay. I'm just so... All right, blank dwarf.
I said red.
Red dwarf. See, makes a lot of sense. All right. Dan's giving me a smile. So what have we got here?
Oh, I went totally off the range and said Westerosi dwarf, much like Tyrion Lannister.
Yeah. Couldn't quite make that.
Well done. Yeah.
Would he be a viable guest for Anglicon? I mean, most of the cast is British.
Yeah.
We'd get people. We'd get people in seats.
That sounds good. Yeah.
Yeah.
He can come do his space pants thing. People.
Oh, space pants. Yes. Space pants.
I do know that someone is going to be showing up in a space pants costume.
Nice.
Or probably. Anyway, I was unimaginative. I just went with red.
Red.
So, you know, we have a match, you know. I kind of got the idea that you were going for like an obvious kind of round. So I thought I'd cater to your,
thank you very much. You know, if we had contestants that wanted to earn the prize of free passes to CSC Seattle, since Jakiva is one of our players, she doesn't need, then they would really appreciate this. Okay, Raven, what did you say?
I said Worf.
Worf Dwarf.
Yep.
I mean, I get the rhyming scheme, but let's imagine a wharf dwarf for a second. Is that just his son?
Yeah, that would totally work.
That would totally. You're just a wharf dwarf. Why did nobody ever say that?
What was that kid's name?
I don't remember.
Alexander Roshenko.
Oh, yes.
Because Klingons and Russians just go together like scones and...
Well,
that was Worf's adopted parents.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, this one's going to be tough. Ooh. I'm sure nobody's going to match on this one. I just want
challenge
you guys to know.
Challenge accepted.
Nobody's going to match at all on this one. All right, and the lightning round is Dr. Blank. Dr. Blank. Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure Dan's coming up with some alternate thing right now, which is good because I'm really interested in what the joke is. And I really set everybody up for the easy match during an Anglicon episode. However, I'm up for what the challenge is of their alternates here. Okay, Jakiva.
I said,
Dr. Blank.
Patient privilege.
I love it. I love it. Now say it with an accent.
A patient privilege.
Okay, because, you know, they've got socialized healthcare there. I don't know, but it's true. Okay, and Dan, what have you, did you come up with something as good as Dr. Patient Privilege?
I'm afraid not, because I've been a fan so long, my blood runs blue. The only answer could be Doctor Who.
Okay.
That rhymed.
My answer was better.
Oh yeah,
I have to give Dave credit. I have to give Dan credit for staying on theme. I guess that's what he does.
I'm looking at what you've written, and I'm excited to see the exact way you say this, because I am expecting it's best said in a particular way. Doctor Blank.
Doctor. 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 Doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Did you miss anyone?
A MASH reference.
Well, actually, I was going more for, what is that movie? Spies Like Us.
Being John Malkovich? No.
No, Spies Like Us.
Oh, okay.
Spies Like Us with Dan Aykroyd and Chevy Chase. That's the scene where they're in Afghanistan, and Terry Gilliam is one of the doctors in that scene, who, of course, was the animator for Monty Python.
Right, exactly.
Even though he's American.
I always forget that, because they also did that scene in Spies Like Us.
Yeah.
Because for me, Doctor is always a MASH reference.
Yeah. That's true.
But anyways, I'm not old. Raven, Dr. Blank.
So my first response was who, but I decided not to put that because I figured everybody else would put it. Dr. Peabody popped in my head.
Ooh,
I can't,
nice.
Can't help but put that down.
I was almost thinking Dr. Watson would be a good answer too.
Ooh, yeah. Yes, that would have fit one in with Anglicon. Yeah, that would have been great.
Where are we going now? And well, Dr. Peabody, he traveled through time, didn't he? So yeah. That's appropriate.
Good stuff. I like the alternate answers. I'm really glad I set people up with there was only one obvious answer so that you just immediately thought.
Just be contrarians and just mess it all up for you.
Okay. And finally, this is our last one. Let's see if we can. This is only slightly a trick one, but I'm sure people can figure something out. Blank, lock. Blank, lock. Ladies and gentlemen, at the end here of the lightning round of the Seattle After Party's match game, I just want to remind you that we've got a new thing that you can help us out, and you can click on our Amazon banners and links at our new website, which is seattleafterparty.com. Make sure to visit seattleafterparty.com and click on those links and help us out, because we get a little tiny bitty kickback.
Thank you.
So we would love to get that and keep investing in the show. So here we go. Jakiva has an answer. Blank. Lock.
John. John Locke. Lost? Anyone? Watch Lost?
We'll see. I
knew who you were talking about.
You know who's lost here? Me, because I haven't watched Lost.
Oh, Okay. I was wondering what the blank look was about. I was like, really, Daryl? You haven't seen Lost?
I was thinking the philosopher. Like he was.
I was thinking John that was Locke. Way very literary, but yeah, Lost is, you know.
I'm not that literary. Okay.
The character was named after the philosopher.
I was about to say, says the person running a magazine, yeah.
Quite a number of those characters were named after philosophers.
That's correct.
It's kind of funny, actually. It added to the mystique that they deliberately put in there to confuse us, to make us tune in every week.
Great.
It's funny when TV shows will do that kind of stuff, where they'll pick a theme that they'll do stuff like that. Yeah. I know I haven't watched Supernatural as much as Jakiva tells me to, but I know that Supernatural, they constantly have alternate identities that they have that they use from time to time, and they're often been the names of the doctors. Like their actual actors played by the doctor.
Oh, right, Agent Baker, Agent Davison.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's always a fun little thing there. Okay. Anyway, so Dan, blank Locke.
In deference to Grandpa Simpson, Matt Locke.
Yes, I love it. I love it. See, this is actually kind of the fun of not playing with contestants, is that we're not trying to match.
We don't care if we win. We're
not trying to match. We're just trying to be creative. It's actually a little more fun sometimes. So here we go. Keith, what have we got?
For some reason, I went with Greylock, but I'm not sure why. I think there is a show called Greylock, but I don't remember where it's from. So I'm just going to leave it there, and you can just make of it what you will.
Greylock. Okay. Making of it what we will. All right. And Raven, blank lock.
I went with the obvious, Sherlock.
Well, you wrote Sherlock, so it's Sherlock Lock, because you put...
Yes, that's true. Sherlock Lock.
Doctor? Doctor? Sherlock Lock.
That's what Sherlock
lock
puts on the door of his toilet, a Sherlock Lock.
Yeah. And
nice. We didn't have a toilet reference, so I know.
A Sherlock Lock for Sherlock.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's right, for sure.
And hopefully that water from the toilet doesn't go into the gravitational pool.
All right.
Yes. Let me get a little sound effect here really quickly. That doesn't work. It's too quiet. Anyways, we've got, we're out of the lightning round. We're all warmed up. It's time to talk. Jakiva wants to say something.
But one last thing when it comes to the game show portion, we have to declare a winner. And with a score of 2 matches to 0 matches, our victor is Keith!
Woo!
And Keith is not going home empty-handed. He gets 4 passes back to any SZ Seattle show. So you can come and see Daryl be awesome on the stage.
All right.
And, you know, I'm there, too. All right.
Thanks, Jakiva. Thanks for declaring a winner. I got booped on the nose. Okay. All right. Anyways, so let's talk Anglicon. So let's go over your roles again here. Dan, what's your role with Anglicon again?
I am the guest liaison. I have a agent that we talk to by the name of Mark, and he has been very helpful in getting us helping us to obtain the guests that we do have, and I don't think we've gone over the full guest list yet.
We should go over the full guest list.
Let's do that. Well, we've already mentioned Norman Lovett, who plays Holly from Red Dwarf.
Yes.
We also have from the new series of Doctor Who, Annette Badland. We remember her from the first season, the Eccleston season,
right,
as Margaret Blaine, who was actually an alien in disguise,
right,
by the name of Blondfell Foch Pasmer de Slithine of the planet Raxacorico Phalopatorius.
He does that way too well. I just have
I know.
To say,
yeah,
mean,
yeah, that was a bit.
La, 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 what? Okay.
That was
rattles it off.
That was well done. Well done,
she's currently on EastEnders. They graciously released her for a few days to let her come to Anglicon, so we're very appreciative of that.
Yeah, it's kind of a steal because she actually has been an occasional player, and she got recently upgraded to regular as of this upcoming season. So it's quite a grab to get her right now because she's going to be a lot bigger on TV.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially there. EastEnders, too.
EastEnders,
very,
a big show, yeah.
Very British.
Also from the new series of Doctor Who, the Sontaran nurse himself, Mr. Dan Starkey.
Oh, yes.
So
yes.
We've got him. He's also been in a series called Wizards vs. Aliens, which was produced by Russell T. Davies, former showrunner of Doctor Who. I believe Annette Babylon was also in that series as well.
Yeah. Russell the Davies, I believe.
Russell the Davies, yes. And from the classic series of Doctor Who, since we had so many Dalek builders last year, it just seemed right for us to invite Terry Molloy, a.k.a. Davros, nice. Creator of the Daleks.
Yes, yes. So that's an awesome guest list, especially for this is the only the second year of the reboot of Anglicon, right?
Right, correct, yes.
Of the reboot, yeah. Yes. Yes.
We also have two other guests. Another guest is Dutch Bahari, who's been on that series Skin Wars. He is a makeup artist, a body painter, and he will be doing some demonstrations at Anglicon as well, and also hosting a workshop. So those of you that want to get in on body painting, how all that's done, this is a good opportunity to get taught by a professional. And we also have returning from last year, Todd McCaffrey.
Oh, yeah, great. So that's, yeah.
He's actually going to be on a game show of mine that I'm running called QI.
Mm.
And he's very, very funny if you have never had the chance to make his acquaintance. So you should definitely come to that. I think it's Saturday at noon is when that one is.
Yep, that's right here, yep.
So come out and see that. That'll be funny.
That's great. That's I really, other than his, well, his and his mother's books, I have no idea. As a person who has got a son named Dragon, Anyways. okay. And let's just move right along. Keith, what is your role with Anglicon?
So I am head of publications, and I am also head of promotions. Those kind of got combined into one. So I'm taking care of the program book, or my department is taking care of things like the program book and flyers. And business cards. We'll be putting up the signage at the event. We've also been doing a lot of the outreach recently, putting up ads and promoting and doing things like this and coming on shows and trying to get the word out and Facebook and online and all that and just make sure we promote everything. I actually have I'll send it to you if you want me to play it now, or I can send you the file of I did a 30-second radio ad this year with the help of one of our recurring staff members, Spider, did a really good couple of British voices for us, and so I've put that out on a couple of podcasts. And
why don't you play it right here through the mic, and then send me the MP3, and I'll put it at the end of this episode, so that anybody who wants to likes what they hear and wants to hear the nicer version can wait till the end of the episode. Turn up the volume here. All right, here we go. Pump up the volume. Pump up the volume. Dance.
Media convention with guests Annette Madeline of Doctor Who, Wizards v Aliens and EastEnders, Holly and Creighton from Red Dwarf, Strax and Davros from Doctor Who, with autographs, photo ops, panels, costume contests, dancing, gaming videos, and of course, Daleks. Get your membership now at anglicon.com. Right!
Nice, very nice. Well done.
You did a really good job on that. I was really lucky to have. We've got some great people on staff, and some of them have a lot of great talents. And I didn't even know Spider did voices, and it turns out he did a great job. So, and I put that together with some backing music and stuff, and just it came out pretty perfect. I'm very happy with that. So, and we've got it running on a couple of. I know it's running on Radio Krypton, and I think it's running on Radio Free Skyro too.
Oh, nice. Nice, very well. And of course, Raven, you are an alumni at this point. You have been a guest on our podcast before, but you're a part of Anglicon too. Tell us about how you'll be involved.
I'm a returning panelist, so I'll be there on, I want to say, 6 or 7 panels. And then I also have a booth in the dealer's room like I did last year, but I will have my other half with me in business, named Elise, who does amazing chainmail jewelry, and she will be making jewelry that is themed to my science fiction and fantasy novels. So I will be selling both writing and jewelry, which will be very interesting and unique.
Yes. So you and Elise you're kind of got a partnership of doing jewelry that's chainmail jewelry at that, that's designed around your novels.
Yes.
That's quite amazing. So, I'll try and post a link in the show notes and stuff. If you're listening to this and you're like, I want to find out more. So give me a link for that stuff and I'll make sure to get that up there as well. All right. So let's talk, a little bit about, Jakiva wants to talk again.
So this may seem like a very obvious question because I know Dan, you said earlier that you've been a Doctor Who fan for life. Womb to the tomb, am I right, brother?
Pretty much, yeah. I can definitely say since 1980.
Wow. That's pretty hardcore. So I guess my question is why Anglicon and how did you get it started?
I'm not a native to this area. Prior military, so the service brought me here. But as far as why Anglicon, why not? It's British, therefore focusing on Doctor Who, so it was an instant no-brainer in for me. But it kind of spawned off from the 50th anniversary celebrations that happened. There was the cinema screening of the 50th anniversary special, and it was over in Bellevue.
Right. I was there. I was there with these guys.
Yeah.
My kids. We were there.
And it expanded from one screen to multiple screens. And once it ended and everybody was milling around in the lobby, we're looking around and saw these people. And then the same night over at the EMP, they had their celebration too. And we saw the line that just went out the door around the corner. And we figured, okay, we gotta get, this is Anglicon. This is the audience for Anglicon.
Absolutely.
We can get it back and going. And we did.
Cause I was looking at the history of Anglicon and the classic one was all the way up till 2005. And then they just said, we can't do this anymore. It's not self-supporting.
Right. Anymore. The series hadn't quite made it to America yet. If we had just held on for a couple more years. Sure.
Oh boy, that's I love looking at that because you're like 2005. That's right when Doctor Who started again. It wasn't quite in the States. Oh, yeah. It was almost could have been a running thing. So, that's cool. So you basically just saw all the people and you're like, we can do this again.
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Now I also noticed that you guys are a nonprofit and you're actually raising money for the Tacoma PBS affiliate.
Correct.
Is that what it's always been doing, like in the past, or is that a new thing?
No, it's not a new thing. It's always been in support of KBTC, Public Television out of Tacoma, the home of classic Doctor Who for over 25 years. And I'm not talking just the Tom Baker era. I'm talking the entire available series from Hartnell all the way through Sylvester McCoy.
And they're one of the, I think they are the, either one of or the only station in the United States that has been showing Doctor Who. I think there was 1 year they couldn't because they couldn't get the rights. But aside from 1 year, for 25 years straight, they've been showing Doctor Who, and there's no other station in the U.S. that can say that. They have
still the only PBS station.
Right, the only PBS station that has been doing Doctor Who for that long. It's kind of nice to have that here and to be able to partner with them, because they've been such Doctor Who proponents for so long and we've worked with them.
Doctor Who and Red Dwarf.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, I grew up in Olympia and I remember watching every time their telethons came on where it was like a Red Dwarf marathon. I was like, I know what I'm doing this weekend. I'm watching Red Dwarf for the whole weekend.
So on Saturday nights, starting at 10, we got a nice 2-hour block, an hour of Red Dwarf followed by an hour of Doctor Who. And next month in the UK, around next month, September, the new season of Red Dwarf starts, means KBTC will be getting it hopefully soon.
Yes, yes. I'm stoked. I loved what Dave did with season 10. I thought I was stoked. It was like, wow. I mean, I remember watching Twitter and watching various people say this really felt like classic Red Dwarf. And I'm like, yeah, but how much is it going to feel like it for us watching it? But then I watched it and I was like, wow, that feels like classic Red Dwarf. That was really great. That was really great.
Yeah. They filmed two seasons back to back, so not only are we getting season 11, but next year season 12. So lots to look forward to.
I just wanted to say that I think one good thing about British cinema or in television is that television in particular is that they may do series, but like they never seem to be phoning it in. Like you watch like an American series and it's like 25 episodes a season and it's like 11 seasons in a row. Like a lot of times they'll wait, you know, and they're like, no, is this a good storyline? Okay, now we're going to throw it back in the mix. I think that's the good thing about British cinema, that it's like, oh, they're going to bring, or excuse me, British television, or it's like, oh, they're going to bring back this series. It's like, all right, like, I think they take their time with it enough that they appreciate it, so you can always, like, bet on British cinema. Why do I keep saying British cinema? British television.
You know, I think one of the difficulties, too, is when an American company gets too involved and they start trying to mix it up, and then it just kind of, everyone goes, you're dialing it in, you know, you're kind of making it up. And that happened, that kind of happened with the 1998 Doctor Who movie, because that was partly, I think, Fox or someone like that. Mm-hmm. People didn't like that too much. It was a little bit too sexed up, a little bit too, you know, romanticized. I'm thinking of like the Tomorrow People reboots, although the last one wasn't that bad, but, you know, Nickelodeon did a Tomorrow People reboot that was just kind of like really tacky. And even some people say that about, sadly, Torchwood season 4, because it was half Stars, half BBC. And of course, they moved it to the US and they brought in some more American actors and they tried to make it all work together. And it's like the chemistry is off somehow. So it's a delicate thing that, but then you're right. They don't have the rigidity that we do. We have to have a new season every fall, you know, 12, 24 episodes for our shows. And it has to be every year where they'll go, we're not going to do one this year. We're going to, you know, regroup and come back. Doctor Who is having a hiatus this year. We're not going to get new Doctor Who until Christmas. So it's like, yeah, they put their time into it.
Which is so sad because like, I'm so like, oh my God.
Throwing a convention is how we cope.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. Come to the convention and commiserate with us.
In a way though, the fact that you don't get one every year, like every fall, it kind of makes you want it more when it comes back. You get a little giddy. Yes. Oh, it's coming back.
They let you suffer through withdrawal for a bit and then, you know, they'll give you a hit and then you'll feel better.
It's like going without a favorite drink for a while and then you have a taste and go, oh, that's good.
Yeah. I'm probably going to be hated for this, but I'm actually looking forward to Moffat stepping down.
I don't think you'll be hated by too many people.
I'm kind of neutral on it, really.
I think there's a lot of people who...
I don't hate
showrunners Moffat, come and go. That's part and parcel of Doctor Who.
Yep.
But that just means not only are we getting season 10, mm-hmm. but also season 11 with the new showrunner, Chris Chibnall.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's right. Which... It means the show's going to change again in a way that obviously with each new doctor you get changed, with every new companion you get changed, but definitely with every showrunner, like the show changes. I mean, you definitely saw that between, Russell T. Davies but even in the classics, there's definitely, you watch in the season.
Absolutely, yes. There were numerous producers and showrunners that became, that went in and out. Back then, they didn't really have showrunners. They had more producer, script editor.
Yeah. But even then, there was still, you would see the changes and stuff. Since there is obviously a Whovian bent to this, let's just get it out in the open. Who's your favorite doctor? And I'll let you split it up. I'll let you split it up if you want. I know this is a tough question. But I'll let you split it up between classic and new. You can have one classic and one new favorite. And if you don't want to say it, that's an answer too.
I can't do that. It's all the same. It's wonderful chap, all of them.
Yes. I agree.
Thank you, Brigadier.
Yes. Yes.
I think that and there's been a lot of good ones, but I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Peter Davison's Doctor, because I think that's the era that, even though I remember as a kid watching it with members of my family and it was Tom Baker, I didn't really get into it until I started watching the Peter Davison episodes. And I mean, he seemed a little bit more accessible and a little bit more personable. And he was a bit more of the MacGyver. He was a bit of a MacGyvery type too.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't use a sonic screwdriver. He would, you know, use a bocce ball or something. And
cricket.
Cricket bat, right? Yeah. And then celery. But yeah, I think that's
and the celery, which is hilarious because he hates celery.
That's right.
Trying to catch my son that's hiding around that corner there. Get a picture of him. Okay, anyways.
Oh, is he the 152nd Pokemon?
Yeah. Only there for gotta catch all my kids. Okay, Raven, what would you say?
Well, I come at it from a different angle because as a kid I wasn't allowed to watch British TV.
Okay.
That's a really long story we won't get into. But my first doctor was David Tennant.
Okay.
So he is my favorite because he was my first.
You weren't allowed to watch PBS?
Pretty much no, because that's liberal crap.
Yeah.
Just leave it there. Yeah, I don't agree with that, obviously, but
not sure it is anymore, but it was.
Yeah. All right, definitely. Well, I have to agree with your statement of there's something great in all of them. I mean, I've watched them all, but I think, you know, from my own personal perspective of trying to take in, like, from modern era, it was Matt Smith, and it's the same reason for classic era in that I like Sylvester McCoy, and it's because of their physical nature of the Doctor, than their more clownish nature of the Doctor.
Yeah, they're a bit goofier.
There's just a way of being that is still totally the Doctor, and yet this, you know, something I can just like look at and go, wow, that's just amazing doing that.
Even like the I think back to I'm going to be shot for this. Patrick Troughton and even Tom Baker but also Matt Smith. So it's more, kind of brought a childishness, a playful child, not a childishness, like, you know, but a playful. I think actually Matt Smith makes the quote of, or it might be Capaldi makes the quote of, what's the point of being a grown up if you can't be childish?
Actually, that was Tom Baker.
That was Tom Baker. Yeah.
I think they've repeated it since. That's
yeah, they do.
But yeah, that's, they brought that, and that's why. And of course, that kind of a little bit, I think, gave the show an unfair stigma of being a kid's show.
Can we just say this again, since my kids are here? Say that again in the most, you know, Whovian way again. What's the point?
What's the point of being grown up if you can't be childish?
Yeah. So remember that, kids. What's the point of being grown up if you can't be childish?
Well, when you're a kid, you want to be a grown up, and when you're grown up, you want to be a kid. So, I mean, you're pretty much just up a creek.
I mean, how many times as a grown up have you passed by a ball pit and go, why weren't they that size? They're so much bigger now. Just want to dive right in.
Can we have adults swim in the ball pit tonight, please, anyone?
You can be a kid by going to conventions and running conventions.
That's right.
Or as Daryl and my husband do, you know, being video game programmers. Because, hey.
There you go.
Well, I used to.
To your point, Raven, I think that's why conventions were created.
Absolutely.
Like, completely. It's just a bunch of people who, like, I think we all feel a connection with shows, right? Because I went to the Star Trek convention a couple years ago, and I, like, met William Shatner, and I was, like, freaking out the whole time. And it's because you have such an attachment to these things. They remind you, like, when you're a kid, you get all excited again. So, like, going to conventions is, like, your way of, like, getting out all of your, like, childish energy and, like, all those connections you made in your youth, like, bringing them back to life
nostalgia.
Again and feeling the magic. Yeah, and that's totally why they were invented, and I love it.
Not only that, conventions are a place where we can 100% unabashedly be ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yep, and get to nerd out.
With
other people nerding out.
Yes.
Which brings me to another question, which, Keith, you and I actually talked about beforehand. I am a person who, when Anglicon, the Kickstarter for Anglicon, the Regeneration came up,
last year.
I looked at that and I was like, so close. I was like, I want to do this. And actually, Raven, you and I have talked about this a little bit in previous podcasts. But I've been afraid to go to a con because I'm a little bit intimidated by, because I don't know that. So I'm a little bit intimidated. It might be from what I see at other cons. I look at, I'm like, whoa, I'm not. I mean, I'm definitely a huge Doctor Who fan and a huge Red Dwarf fan and stuff like that. But like, what do you have to say to somebody like me about who's intimidated by conventions? What do any of you have to say like about that?
Oh, well, first, I'm curious as to what aspect you're intimidated about.
I think when he was talking to me, one of the things that came up is that you see people who obviously live and breathe cosplay and live and breathe in that society, and a lot of society views that as crazy. as why don't you just grow up and get a job? And so I think there's some stigma, not necessarily with how you feel, but just in general, that convention going is for, you know, freakish people. And I think that that tends to make people nervous to go to a convention they've never gone to because they don't know where that's going
to
be.
That's a stigma that goes way back, too. If you remember William Shatner on Saturday Night Live at a Star Trek convention going, why don't you people get lives? You know, and it's like, you know, that's the stigma that's been around for a long time. And I think that stigma has gone away as you see now some of the, and I mentioned this, some of the really big events that you're seeing now, like San Diego Comic-Con, even Emerald City Comic-Con, and PAX, there's like four PAXs now, and even some of the other smaller conventions, there's just, they're big deal, and a lot of people go there. And I mean, you got scalpers outside Emerald City Comic Con selling tickets at 100% markup. I mean, this is a popular thing. There's a demand. Yeah, and PAX and pretty much everything. I mean, they might be outside the DoubleTree. I don't know, but I don't know why, because we'll have them we'll have tickets at the door. But which is cheaper. Cheaper. I think that it's gotten a lot more. I don't know if it's it depends on who you talk to, but I think especially in this area, it's a lot more accepted because we have had so many events. It's getting to be kind of a crowded market out there for conventions because we've got everything from gaming conventions to science fiction conventions to literary conventions. I mean, you got SakuraCon, which is an anime convention. You've got OriCon. You've got NorwestCon, which is, you know, your classic sci-fi fantasy convention. You've got a WinkyCon coming up, or OzCon, which is, you know, a L. Frank Baum convention. I mean, you've got all kinds of things. There's PaizoCon, there's you name it, there's a con. So they're definitely becoming a lot more Crypticon. Sorry, we should definitely mention Crypticon.
There's also WizardCon.
And RadCon and WizardCon and...
Let
me look for the ad swaps.
It's because there are so many conventions. It kind of made it difficult to schedule.
It does.
What is the best time of year to put AngleCon? Was a difficult choice.
Mm-hmm. Well, you had a questionnaire or somebody did on the AngleCon page trying to figure out where to move it to next time and couldn't really get a good decisive answer
There's
no good time because you're competing with something.
Either competing with, we have actually Gen Con in Indiana against us this year, and you'd think, well, you know, no one's going to Indiana. Actually, a lot of people are going to Indiana for Gen Con. I mean, it's difficult, you know, or you're against this, you're against that, and then there's also, well, everyone's on vacation. Well, everyone's, you know, going to be going back to school. Well, everyone's going to be, you know, coming back from school. Well, everyone's going to be in school. Well, everyone's going to be, and so it's like there's always something going on. So you have to kind of just, kind of pick a date that you think will work overall, not just for people, but also for, you know, logistics and pricing and all that. It makes a difference. So.
All this con talk is making me think a little bit of the opposite of what Raven pointed out about, like, it's a place for freaks, and so you want to go into it, and then it's like, does that make you a freak? I think almost, like, the pendulum, at least in, like, Seattle, it seems like, is, like, the other way. It's like you're not freaky enough, because, like...
That's exactly more how I feel. I have jokingly called myself Squirrel, which is a mix of Square and Daryl, with the idea that, like, I think cosplay is amazing, and I have a good friend who does it at a very high level. I'm always amazed at what she does and what other people I know who do it. So I'm not even afraid of that. I just know that I can't bring it at that level. And so, like, I think that's more my thing is, like, I don't know that I bring it enough. So what do you have to say about maybe that side of the pendulum? Like, I don't bring the fan enough. Like, I'm not fan enough for something.
Yeah, it's like you're not a real geek because you don't know this, that, and the other thing. Yeah, but I think the great thing about especially a convention like ours is that you can make of it what you can go and do what you want. I mean, you can go to panels, you can check out the merch, you can go see the guests, go to the guest panels, hang out in the if you're bored, go to the gaming room and play a board game with someone. We've got a guy, Marcus Evenstar, is going to be doing gaming room there. There's a video room. We'll be showing all sorts of various British entertainment. There's a hospitality room where you can just go grab a bite and a drink. You know, there's going to be a dance. There's going to be a party. There's going to be the game shows. So you can kind of pick and choose. You don't have to be there to show off. You can be there to just enjoy. And that's something that I've definitely learned through Anglicon, is that it can be, you know, you don't have to have your freak flag all the way up to the top. You know, you can just kind of just be and absorb and just enjoy on your own. And you'll find people that, you know, the people will be friendly. And you don't have to, it's not always going to be, you know, the masquerade is Friday night, but you don't have to be in the masquerade. You know, you can do it, you know, you can do whatever.
Think of it.
Saturday night.
Is it Saturday night?
Yeah, masquerade Saturday.
Think of it this way. If I wasn't allowed to watch PBS growing up, and so I was not exposed to all of this British stuff until more recent, and I go, come on.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
You can do it.
Okay. Well,
I was look at it this way. You go to a convention, at the very least, you're going to meet people, hopefully make friends who have the same interests as you do. Why else would you be at the same location?
Exactly.
And if you're feeling really crazy, you might end up actually helping out with the convention next year. But
you always need volunteers.
You know, we do. I mean, we'll be inviting volunteers to help out at the event, just at site. And there's usually a volunteer reception at the end, and they actually do give there's actually a raffle for the number of shifts you do as a volunteer. You get a raffle ticket, and then you'll potentially win.
Your efforts will be recognized.
So, but it really helps out. I mean, like we said, this is and another important distinction to make with PAX and also Emerald City, as of I think this past year or the year before, where those are actually corporate events now. Those are run by the ReadPop. Events International.
Can I boo?
Company.
I'm sorry.
You can boo if you like.
And we're at least 100% fan run.
We are fan
Yay!
Run.
All volunteers.
No one gets paid, and the only people that get paid are the guests, and that's the special guests, and that's because we have to pay them for them to come. But but yeah, I mean, we nobody else gets paid. I mean, we do this. It's really a labor of love, and sometimes a labor of stress. But you know, we do it because we want this event to go well. We want this event to go well. We want everyone to enjoy it. We want there to be something for everyone. We want to make sure things go off without a hitch, you know. And we want to make it enjoyable for everyone. And so we do it because we care and because we're fans too. You know, we're not doing it for the profit motive. We're doing it for the personal motive. And that's a big part of what makes it, I think, I don't want to say magical, but that's kind of it. It's like, that's what makes it a little bit more special.
Well, and as a professional panelist, which everybody keeps telling me I am since I'm on so many panels everywhere, that works best. I mean, I've been to the corporate owned and I've been a guest where they treat you kind of like, well, nothing.
Cattle.
Yeah, cattle. And that's as a guest.
Oof.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when you go to the nonprofits, they're always infinitely better. Always.
That's good. That's good to hear. So this is a fan run convention, and
Absolutely.
It's still small. So let's say we do go. This is a convention really for everyone who's a fan. So let's talk about the different kind of stuff you have. Like, obviously, I've got my kids. I would go probably with my kids. What kind of stuff do you have for kids, and what do you have stuff that maybe you shouldn't bring kids to if you've got anything like that that people might be interested in going and seeing? We're getting out the spreadsheets, people. The spreadsheets.
We do have a lot. I mean, like I said, we have discussions and panels on anything you can think of, from Sherwood to Sherlock to Doctor Who, Red Dwarf.
One of the first panels is one called Convention Culture. If you've never been to a convention before, this would be a good panel to start with.
Oh, okay. And that's on Friday then.
Yeah, Friday at noon.
Friday at noon. Great.
What else we got? Panels on collecting, retrospective. This year's the 50th anniversary of the introduction of the Cybermen.
Oh,
so
okay.
Anything you want to know about the Cybermen, we got a panel on it. We've got special events in the evening. Friday night, we got the two game shows.
I want to step back for a moment, because this is something. Cybermen were showed up in 10th Planet, right?
Yes.
And one thing I love about when I watch, because I'm a Nuvian, I came to it new, because just a really quick step back. watching PBS growing up, I loved Red Dwarf, watched a ton of it, and I knew lots of friends who watched Red Dwarf, so I'd see it, and I was like, I remember watching it once and going, I turned the channel to it, and I started watching it, and I'm like, I have no idea what's going on, okay, and then I left. And then the next time I saw Red Dwarf on, I'm going, okay, I'll try and watch it again this time. It was a completely different actor, because it was a completely different doctor, and I'm like, I have no clue what's going on, and I just,
yeah,
and,
that
and now I'm a huge fan.
Confusing.
But anyways.
That's the thing about Doctor Who. You can almost jump in at any given point.
Right.
Because, I mean.
And that's what I tell people who ask me.
It was done in the traditional cliffhanger.
Yeah.
I mean, you got 25 minutes, cliffhanger.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But anyways, going back to the 10th Planet, I remember watching it, going back, and I was like, what's cool about it, watching it now, is like, that time was 1986. Which, and the kind of part of the storyline is that a spaceship explodes. But in 86 is the same year that the Challenger exploded. So I'm like, I have explanation now for why that actually happened, and they hid it from us. Okay, so I just want, that's my headcanon. That's my headcanon for that. It was Cybermen. the 10th planet, which we're now starting to see through exoplanet discoveries.
Correct.
Yeah. Those are pretty cool.
Dwarf planets.
And yeah. See, you would fit right in. Sorry.
Yeah.
You'd be fine.
I don't think you're going to have a problem.
I mean, you're wearing the right T-shirt come. Right now. It's great. I love the 16-bit.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I used to make video games, so, and I'm a Doctor Who fan, so video games, Doctor Who, yeah.
Select your doctor.
Do they fight each other or something?
I think there's actually another shirt that you can get, which is Select Your Monster, and it's got all the different monsters from,
that makes sense.
From Doctor Who as well, so then I think they just have Daleks and Cybermen up top, but then like a bunch of the others as well.
But I mean, you mentioned having kids at the event. I mean, there's actually going to be the room that's going to be dedicated to crafting, so there might be some good crafting events. I mean, there's paper piercing and costuming and things of that stuff going on in the crafting room.
Are you guys doing the How to Build a Dalek again?
Probably. Scarf knitting, British paper piecing, language of flowers.
Yeah, Dalek building is going to be Saturday morning in the one of the. It's
That's
not. It's not in crafting.
One.
It's
oh,
not
it's
in
not?
The crafting room. It's in.
Oh, where'd you put it?
Northwest One.
So
we're also doing.
Oh,
this was very popular
okay,
last year.
Yeah.
This is also was very popular last year. We're doing it again on Sunday afternoon. The Frankenstuffies, where you kind of just take bits of stuffed animals and sew them together and make disturbing new creations that are adorable. That was a big hit last year. They're doing it again this year. Yep, Frankenstuffies.
What is the line on cool and disturbing?
Disturbing all at once.
Which just makes it cool.
Which makes it cooler.
Exactly.
Yes.
It just comes right around.
And this is my new possible Doctor Who monster right here.
Oh, geez, what do you dream of at night?
I was thinking as a writer, ooh, interesting villain.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
A Cyberman Dalek hybrid could be an interesting an enemy. You know, I mean,
I you know,
don't know how that works.
One of my favorite things from the new series that happened was that whole thing between the Cybermen and the Daleks,
trash talking,
where they were trash talking.
I love that.
It was so beautiful because it was, you know, there's certain times where TV shows, and I think British TV shows do this better than American TV shows, they make fun of themselves in such a direct way that, like, they know what they are, and they don't hide it. They wear it on their shirt sleeves. I mean, I just started watching the IT Crowd recently.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and,
yes.
Like, oh, my God, the amount of humor that's in that show that they're like, we know what we are. I mean, about the only thing I've seen that really does that recently in the States is stuff like 30 Rock. They kind of know what they are, and they like meta humored it up to the but
and of course that was a show about running a TV show, so it was kind of meta to talk about the fact that they are a TV show. And, you know,
so the meta is
you
built
have to
in.
You have to have. It seems like in America you have to do that only with that self-referential, you know, aspect. It can't just be for the sake of it.
Exactly.
Know, outside of like, you know, sketch comedy like SNL or whatever, where they do that all the time. Right. Of course, that's where Tina Fey got a lot of her experience. Basically, that was about her working on SNL.
Exactly.
30 Rock was that. So.
Yeah. Exactly. So. So we're coming up near our time that we got to end here. So I want to get you guys to say whatever it is that you want to say about Anglicon, what are you excited about Anglicon other than the convention itself? Because I realize that it's a labor of love. So what are some of the high points that you're really interested in? Whether it's a new thing or something that's coming back again or what?
The high point, I would say, would be hopefully meeting new fans to whatever we're showcasing, be it Doctor Who or Red Dwarf. If you even have the slightest interest in anything British, then this convention is the place to be at this coming weekend.
Sweet, sweet. And Keith, what would you say?
Well, there's a lot to look forward to. I mean, we have a lot of stuff going on. There is always going to be something to do. We're going to have some great guests. Our guests are usually really good. You know, they're really fun. They're really funny. They're great to see and ask questions of.
Raven just gave me a thumbs up and a smile like, yeah, I'm a guest.
Well, she's a guest, yeah, right. But I mean, everything. I mean, I can't even list everything that we've got going on, from the dances at night to the masquerade to the dealer's room, our game show panels. There's going to be an auction. There's going to be a trivia contest. We've got the video room, the gaming room. There's just so much going
on. There's even karaoke.
There's even going to be a karaoke night. There's going to be a filking night. There's going to be a lot of stuff going. I mean, it goes and goes. Like I said, we've got 7 rooms, and that's just of panels and programs. We've got the extra rooms, like the gaming room and everything else. So, I mean, that's 10 rooms of something to do the whole weekend.
You'll need your own vortex manipulator so that at the end of the convention, you can go back to the beginning and catch what you missed.
Right.
Dirty time travel.
Just don't meet yourself. It's awkward.
I will totally make a promise that anybody who comes up to me and mentions toilets will get a prize.
All right.
Totally going to do that.
So if you're listening and you decide to go to Anglicon, find Raven and mention toilets. You will get a prize.
I think for me, I look forward to meeting more fans, people who share interests that I share, but also that I can cosplay a Dalek and somebody will say, that's a Dalek, and not, are you a ladybug? Which is what I got at Comic-Con. Not so much.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
You remember what I'm talking about? Crackpot lady is like, are you a ladybug? No. Do you see the head?
What was she doing at Emerald City Comic-Con?
I don't know. I have no idea.
You must have been wearing the red model Dalek.
I was.
That explains it.
But, you know, I had this huge,
No, it's from Doctor Who.
There's a thing
Who.
Coming
Doctor
out of my
Who?
Head. Yeah. I was not a ladybug. Anyway.
I just wanted to take this brief moment to plug another Raven-centric event. So there's a storytelling festival this weekend. So after Anglicon, come and see Raven. She's going to be part of a storytelling festival called Bibliophilia. She's going to be reading the first chapter of her novel, Class M Exile, complete with the alien southern drawl. So if that sounds super awesome, come and see her do that. She's going to read the first chapter of her book, and then a bunch of improvisers are going to bring that chapter to life. So it's going to be a whole lot of fun. Costumes are encouraged. Nerddom is encouraged. Come and show Raven some love.
Okay, that sounds great. But we're not done yet. And here's why.
Now what?
Because we have a tradition here at the Seattle After Party where we do misattributed quotes. And what that is we take a song lyric, a book quote, a movie quote, something that is, or even a true historical quote, something that is so well known and people probably know who actually said it, and we attribute it to somebody else for comedic purposes. Now, I'm expecting, as you are fans of stuff, you've got quotes up the wazoo that you can pull from, but apply it to somebody else for comedic value. That is my challenge. But I will give you a chance to think about that while I'll tell our listeners what they can see coming up and some other stuff that I just want to let them know. All right. On September 4th, Jonathan Tweet returns to talk about his children's book, Grandmother Fish, and a related card game called Clades that's also going to be kickstarted. Reminder, you can help us out by clicking on our Amazon banners and links at our new website, seattleafterparty.com. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or however you listen to us. Send your comments, questions, and match game sentences to fanmail@seattleafterparty.com. Follow us on Twitter @AfterPartyHosts. Like us on Facebook. Like all of us on Facebook, like I said earlier today. Also, remember, Word Lit Zine. Check it out. It's Pacific Northwest poetry, literature, and more. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for some misattributed quotes. Okay, what have we got from you, Dan? You look like you're still thinking. Not sure if you've got one.
I'm not even sure if I'm going down the right alley here.
It's fine.
Just give a quote, but kind of...
Attribute it to somebody else, yes.
Attribute it to somebody else?
Yeah.
Do you want me to go first?
Raven,
yes,
it sounds
please,
like,
yes.
Sounds like you've got the experience, Raven. Let's go.
Fly, you fools, by Ganondorf.
Nerd dumb. Going
yeah, yeah, video game reference.
Video there. Game. Jakiva, do you have one? You...
Sure. It is... Con by Jean-Luc Picard.
So now that you've got an idea of here we go. We've got some feedback from the audience here.
I recognize that Pepper Pot. I loved him from Star Wars, says Gandalf.
I'm gonna go back to something I said earlier. What's the point of being grown up if you can't be childish? And I'm attributing it to Weird Al Yankovic.
That's true. That man has definitely
made a
great career out of that. Okay. And finally, I will. Now I've got to come up with one because I've been talking so long. I haven't actually been thinking about one. All right. I am going to say something very simple. I'm going to reverse the polarity of the neutron flow, and I'm going to do it because my name is Bernie Sanders. Oh, that would have been great too. Inigo Montoya is going to do something else, I'm sure. I'll remember that for a future one. Anyways, this has been the Seattle After Party. Please thank our guests from AngliCon. Make sure to check it out.
AngliCon.com.
AngliCon.com.
August 5th through 7th.
Check it out.
Double Tree
Hotel down by SeaTac
Tickets
Airport.
Tickets will be available
at the door
not by scalpers.
Passes.
Tickets available online at AngliCon.com today only. Today's the last day you can get them online.
July 31st.
So all right.
If this doesn't go out till Monday, I guess that won't help them. But
I will try and get this out as fast as possible.
There will be tech passes. Come on down. We also there's a... Double Tree has parking. We had a discounted parking, so that'll save you a little trouble. And it's actually it's accessible by transit too. You can even take the light rail to it. Pretty much goes about a block or two away, I think. So yeah, it's easy to get to on 99. Yeah, you know, take the airport shuttle. Yeah, oh, no, pull over here. Yeah.
The Double Tree is also a Pokestop with a nearby gym.
Ooh, there you go.
Woohoo!
And that, ladies and gentlemen, should be all you need to know.
All you need to know. Come on down.
AngliCon. Thank you, ladies.